I told Gwen that's one of my favorite hymns, and you guys probably know that by now too. And but I really think all of Scripture can be boiled down to the kind of those words, trust and obey. Trusting and obeying God's word. And as I was thinking of, that's really the message that Sarah and Caleb and the missionaries there were wanting to share with these children. Trust and obey. You can trust God. He really does love you. And his word is really true. And Lord willing, this fall, we will be focusing more and more on evangelism in our evening services. And even as, I don't know if you caught the question that, was it Elijah or one of the workers asked, "What, you know, if you were to stand before God and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say?" And I don't know if any of you are familiar with evangelism explosion, but that is one of those two diagnostic questions that they ask. There's a lot of different tools and ways that we can help people hear the gospel. And so, and yet, as we think about that this fall, I thought we'd take some time just to look throughout the Old Testament and see, where does God, or let me back up, where does God show his desires for the nations? That the world and people, even outside of Israel, will come to know him as the true God, the one who loves and the one who made them and wants them to glorify him. And in Psalm 145, let's turn there. We're going to take a couple weeks. Maybe we'll get through it in two, might be more. But I'd like to slowly go through Psalm 145 together and consider truths that are worth teaching to the next generation. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 this evening, and we might not get through all of those, but we'll prime the pump with that. I'm going to read the passage, we'll have a brief word of prayer, and then I got some questions, just some introduction, as we consider truths that are worth teaching to the next generation. Psalm 145, we're just going to start by reading the first three verses. If you have the inscription there, or the heading to this psalm, a song of praise of David. This is a psalm that David wrote under the inspiration of God, and it's a song of praise. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." It's a beautiful psalm, and it's filled. This is one of the last psalms that we have recorded. I believe the last psalm we have recorded by David that we have inspired by God and inscripturated. Let's have a word of prayer as we come to God's word, and then have some questions for all of us to have some dialogue on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time to be in your word. Thank you for just the encouraging and thankful recap that Sarah and Caleb were able to share. We thank you for the children that heard the good news and their families, we pray, that also heard the good news as they shared what they learned. And we pray that Hannah and Heidi and the whole ministry team there will continue to see fruit from the labors of the gospel there. Father, thank you that you have given us your word and you have given us a generation with us that is the next generation. And I pray as Christians, we will have a hunger, a desire to help them know God, to know who this God is, to live their lives for his glory. And I pray that you would give us the grace, the strength, the boldness that we need to point our generation and those that we meet to Jesus Christ and to his word. So we pray that as we look in your word, you'll give us clarity, you'll give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I wanted to ask us some questions here. And, you know, Sunday night's a little more, we're a little more laid back on some things. I want some dialogue here. What are some things that your parents were very careful to pass on to you? And perhaps they had these things passed on to them from their parents and their grandparents, and some maybe a skill or something that you need to know this when you grow up. What are some things that you remember your parents or maybe a grandparent or someone saying, you need to know this or you need to learn this or and this is important? Doesn't have to be super spiritual, okay? We're starting broad, and then we're going to go specific. But maybe there are spiritual things. Asher? Learn how to ride a bike. Okay. That's good. That's a good thing to learn. Who else? Yes, Joe. Learn how to drive. Oh. Were they telling you, learn how to drive, Joe? Well, that's an important thing, right? Because they don't want to drive you everywhere all the time, right? Or one day you may need to drive them, right? Yeah, down the road. Okay, what else? William? How to throw a football, okay? That's an important thing. It can be very important depending where you live in this country. Megan?
When I started leaving the house and went to college,
do good work. So whenever Megan left home, going to college, going wherever, do good work. Okay, so be a someone who knows we're doing good work. Oh, yes, Gwen. Be kind, be good stewards of your money, and give to those in need. These are good things. These are important things. Jim, and then Ben.
Have a good work ethic.
Okay, it's important that we have a good work ethic. We want to work hard. We're not afraid of work, and we're working for the right reasons. Ben.
Learn to keep your mouth shut.
Learn to keep your mouth shut. Ooh, that can be a hard one sometimes. That can be a hard one. Caleb?
Make your bed without any wrinkles.
Make your bed without any wrinkles. Caleb, you actually do quite good at that. So, I don't know if we're passing that on to the next one. Okay, yeah. So anyway, yes, Asher.
Never eat with your mouth open.
Never eat with your mouth open. Chew with your mouth closed. Okay, Jack.
Bills.
Pay your bills. Okay, keep your commitments. Pay your bills.
Pray before you eat and before you go to bed.
Pray before you eat and before you go to bed. Okay, there's a number of good things that our parents pass on. Some things that my dad and mom, well, some more of my dad, some my mom, how to change a car tire, how to take care of your car, you know, change the battery if you need to, oil, other basic kind of auto mechanical skills, how to balance a checkbook and write checks. Caleb got a little checking account the other day and like, what's a checkbook? Because everything's on your phone, right? Like, oh, yeah, it's good to write it in here though, just in case you're phones don't, you know, it's different these days. But how to balance a checkbook, right? And even write checks, you know, you sign here, you do this and all that. My dad was very keen. He liked doing painting and polyurethane on wood. How to paint wood with the grain. Don't go against the grain. Go with the grain, you know, and how to use a roller on a painting wall so you didn't leave streaks. How to mow straight lines. How to throw a two-seam and four-seam fastball. How to clean fish and game that you got when you were fishing or hunting. My dad was very careful that we knew safely how to use a firearm and how to keep it clean. How to tie a lure on a hook or on the fishing string. But another one that my parents were very keen on was memorizing the books of the Bible, their names, and where to find them. That was one of the most favorite things that they taught me. Nadine shared, I think, at Bible camp, she was able to share with the children. You know, there are some things that we need to instruct other, you know, others on that. How about some phrases? You can learn how to keep your mouth shut or some of these others. There some one thing my dad would always say is measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. And sometimes I remember thinking, and sometimes it was measure three times. Depending if it's a really expensive piece of wood, we're really going to measure this, okay? Never drink downstream of the herd, okay? Remember that one, okay? Just one of those things. It was more be situationally aware, okay? Know your surroundings, okay? If you can't see anything nice, don't see anything at all. That was my mom an awful lot saying that. Kind of like Ben, learn to keep your mouth shut. One thing that my mom always said, and it's stuck with me, consider the source. And that's when you're receiving criticism. And hopefully helpful criticism or whatever, consider the source. Does this person love the Lord? They want your best interest? Consider the source. Don't just throw it out. And of course, the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And I think we've all had different phrases that have stuck with us. But you know, the worst thing that we could ever do as individuals, whether we're parents, grandparents, adults, or even upcoming adults, the worst thing we could do for the next generation is to teach them to fundamentally know important biblical truths about the Lord. Now, we can't change their heart. We can't save them. But what are some of the biblical truths that Christians, as you think of what God has been teaching you in His Word, and as you have seen maybe people encourage you to consider these truths about God's Word, what are some biblical truths that Christians must be careful to teach to the next generation? What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of truth in God's Word. What are some of the ones that really, if you had to come to mind right away? Important biblical truths. Nadine. Be sure your sin will find you out. Okay, you can't run from God. Sin will always have a reckoning. Good, Sarah. God is good all the time. Even when you go through, and all the time He is good, right? God is good all the time, and all the time He is good, right? All the time God is, but yeah, that's important. Because there are times we go through some really rough times, but God doesn't stop being good. Asher. Good works can't save you. That's a hard one. I think of that little boy, you know, she was talking about, I'm a good person, I'm a good person. And a lot of people they strive to be the best person they can be. And we have to remind them, God's word, though, says that all have sinned, right? Good. Margaret. God never makes any mistakes. So we can trust him, right? God never makes a mistake. That's one that Satan will definitely try to trip us up with, right? And make things that, well, God must have forgot about you, or God must have messed up on this one. But God never makes any mistakes. Good. What else?
The world wasn't created by accident.
Okay. The world didn't come to be by accident. It wasn't created by accident. It didn't just happen. It was created by our wonderful Creator God. These are good, and these are biblical truths that we want to pass on. There's many others. But what are some things that we can teach the next generation from God's word, but that we can't fully pass on, and we have to ask God to do in their lives? What do you think? No matter all the instruction we give, and we can be teaching our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, whoever, the next generation of the Bible, what are some things that ultimately God has to do in their hearts, and we can't do? Asher? He has to save them, right? He's the only one who can regenerate them, make them spiritually alive. We can't do that. No, we can point them. Okay, good. What else? What are some things that only God can do? Craig? Only he can truly give them peace. We can tell them about God's peace. We can tell them that God never makes mistakes and all these things. But ultimately, God is the one, right, who has to give them that peace and really probably that faith to trust that he is good. That's good. What else? Anything else come to mind? Maybe. Yeah, so we can prepare our children, encourage them to obey and want God's blessing, but ultimately, God has to work in their heart to help them obey and to see his blessing and to receive that. How about a love for God and his word? You know, I wish I could create that in my boys' hearts. And I hope that Sarah and I and, you know, other Christians, we model well what it looks like to love God. But ultimately, I can't make Caleb or William love God. I can't make you love God. You can't make me love God. Only God in his spirit working can do that. But we have hope in that. And so God never tells parents or grandparents or Christians, he never tells us to do the work that he does. And only he can do. But he does, throughout his word, show us there are truths that we must share. There are truths about God, about his glory, that we must teach in our own hearts, but to the next generation. And Psalm 145 is full of truths about God and his glory that we need to pass on to the next generation. And oh, by the way, the next generation's already here. Okay? And maybe you think, where am I? The next generation now, maybe, you know, Asher and you guys, maybe, you know, you're the next generation now, but you know, there's probably even a couple generations here. Oh yeah, we're yeah, for some, yeah, we're the next generation, right? All that, but as we think about this, there's not much time to waste. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. And I think sadly in America, as Christians, sometimes we've wasted that time. I thank God for godly parents. A number of us have had godly homes that have tried to do it this way. But if we're not careful, and if we sit back and think, well, someone else will teach the next generation, someone else will take that teen or that young one under their wing and point him to Christ, someone else will do that work, we're going to be in a world of hurt, and we need to be pointing them to Christ. So let's go to Psalm 145, and we see that's a song of praise of David. I want to do some background here to some introduction to Psalm 145. As we said, this is the last of the Psalms of David, as far as we know. I mean, there's a number of Psalms that don't have credit to him. Maybe he wrote more than we realize, but this is one of the last ones. It's near the end of Psalm, of the collection of Psalms. The inscription says, a song of praise, or a psalm of praise of David. This is a song of praise. There are going to be many different words for praising God. What words do we have in our English language to praise? Okay, praise is one. But if you were to say, what does it mean? What's another word for praising God? And you can even look here in the text if you want. But what are some of the words that we can use in our own language to praise? You can just shout it out.
Honor.
Honor. Okay? When we honor God, we're giving praise to him.
Glorify
him. Okay? Extol. Yep, we see that right away in verse 1. Extol. Oh, we'll do Asher, then William.
Exalt.
Okay. Worship, okay, just worship him. Magnify, make great, okay? What else? It gets tricky after a while, doesn't it? Kind of thing. Bless. Sing praise to him. Bless. Okay, so in this psalm, there are a number of words. I'm going out of the ESV, but in verse 1, there's the word extol. Later we have bless, praise, commend, declare, meditate, speak, pour forth, sing aloud, give thanks. David, as one commentator said, the author has exploited all the vocabulary he can muster to describe this great activity of praising God for his greatness and goodness. And there are repeated terms for the enduring nature of this praise. We're going to see forever and ever, generations. That's the one I get, the generation that's coming. Sarah, would you mind going to the back? I think, oh boy, the pizza got here early. We've got to go a little longer. I'm sorry. Okay, oh boy, now I lost you. Thank you. Would you mind closing those doors, too, babe? Okay. There are repeated terms for the enduring nature of this praise. Forever and ever, generations and everlasting. One of the most important things that I believe we need to pass on to the next generation is what it means to live for the praise and glory of God. That's what they need to know. This is an acrostic psalm, real quick, too. An acrostic psalm. Do you know what an acrostic is? Where it starts with one letter of the alphabet, so A, B, C, D. Every stanza in here, there's actually 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And you'll look here and you'll say, oh, there's only 21 verses. Well, each verse, or each stanza, because the verses aren't here, but the stanzas are here, each verse in our English translation begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Tav, or like we would say A to Z, okay? But there's one letter missing, and it's the letter Nun. And this has happened. There's other acrostic psalms that David wrote. If you wanted to jot these down, but if there's Psalm 9, Psalm 10, Psalm 25, Psalm 34, Psalm 37, those are acrostic psalms that David penned. But in each of these psalms, there's a couple, they don't always have all the letters. And this one is missing the letter Nun, which would be the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So in the ESV, if you look at verse 13, where it ends in like in the middle of verse 13, it says, your dominion endures throughout all generations. In brackets, or maybe in italics, they have this: the Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. That word faithful begins with the N or the Nun. And the majority of Hebrew manuscripts do not have this in there. They did find this in some minority manuscripts that they found when they were doing the Dead Sea Scrolls. And also the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this has that in there. But they include this in brackets just so we understand that the majority of Hebrew manuscripts don't have it, so the majority of English translations don't have it either. Okay, so if you're using the King James, you won't see this in there, or many other ones. There's only a couple that actually include this. But that be that as it may, it doesn't take away from God's word if it doesn't have the letter Nun in there or not. It's not an error, but some possibly may have added this later just to put a Nun in there if you're learning the Hebrew alphabet. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. That's 13. B, we could call it. But as we come to verse 1, why it was an acrostic is so you could remember it. So if you're learning the Hebrew alphabet, children knew the alphabet. For a letter Aleph, you could learn verse 1. I will extol you. Extol. Can't remember the exact word there, but exalt. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Let's just, for the next 10 minutes or so, let's break down verse 1. What can you see? What can we learn in this short statement? I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. And what can we learn that these are truths about God we should pass on to the next generation? Well, we can see that God is the true and only God. I will extol you, my God. I am worshiping the God of heaven, the true God. Remember the first commandment? Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. No little g gods, no idols. Don't worship anything other than God. No other gods before me. And we see this right at the beginning. I will extol you. The word extol, we'll come to that in a minute, but it means to raise or lift high or exalt. Sometimes that word's translated exalt as well. I will exalt, to lift high, to lift up in praise. See, God is the true and only God. That is a wonderful truth that we need to pass on to the next generation. We are not God. God is the true God. He made us. He created us. He is the only one worth worshiping and worthy of worship. But also, it says, you are my God, or I will extol you, my God and, what's the next word? My God and King. Now, who's writing this? King David. And King David says to all the nation, God is my king. God has allowed me to be king of Israel, but God is my king. God is king over all, even over King David. All kings, all rulers, all heads of nations should bow to the King of Heaven. Now that's a lesson we need to teach to our children. I know we look in our political realm and sometimes we think it's a lost cause, but as I quoted this morning from a former teacher, failure is never final as long as the grace of God is operable. Now we look at history and we see how nations turn their back upon God and God lets them go, but we don't have to lose all of this generation. We can point them to Christ. And we need to teach the next generation that God is king over all. And we need to submit to him. We need to serve him. And every king, like David, or ruler, or head of nations, or country leaders, should bow to him. Those are the people you want in office. Those are the people you want to see put in leadership of our country. Those who honor God as king over all. That's a good thing to pass on. Even if it's hard to find people that way sometimes, we can maybe raise up a godly generation to be those kind of leaders in our country, those Christian leaders. He goes on to, real quick, we might jump over this, but 145, I will extol you, who's God and King? My God and King. I think we're talking about, you know, God never makes mistakes. God wants, you know, he wants to have a relationship with us. God is a personal God. It's my God. We have to make a decision. All of us have to make the right decision. We pray, are you going to worship God as your King? Or are you going to try to serve yourself as your own king, your own God? And David has made the decision, he is my God. And God is a personal God. Instead of being an impersonal or scary God like idols or satanic false gods, Jehovah God has an eternal relationship with those who worship him his way. He's a personal God. You know, deism will teach that God just create. He may create all things, but then he kind of like just spun the world going and then hands off. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today, because God's just kind of detached from his creation. That couldn't be it's one of the greatest lies. He's not detached at all. He's in control of all things. He never makes a mistake. We make mistakes. We sin. But God is in firm and wonderful sovereign control. But in all that power, he's a personal God. He knows us. Psalm 139 says, he knows every thought that we have. And for his children, those who are his, he has more thoughts toward us than the sand on the seashore. That's how much he loves us. His mercy is very great. He's a personal God. We need to teach the next generation that God didn't just create them to do work. He created them to have a relationship with him. Teach them good worth ethics. Teach them all these good things. Teach them how to mow straight lines in the grass. But as one preacher said one time, if I teach my child or I teach my boy to hit a curveball and I don't teach him to love Jesus with his life, I failed. Now, I can't save him. I can't make him. But if I'm only concerned about him hitting that curveball and doing well in this physical life and I have no care for him loving the Lord with his life, I failed as a dad. And we need to go forward as Christians to show children how they can love Christ. And the next generation, not just children, the current generation, adults, even those who are passing on, how they can know God. There's a couple words here real quick, and then I think we'll just get through verse 1 today. But bless. This was one of the, I think Gwen mentioned, that's how we praise the Lord. Verse 1, it says, "And I will extol you, my God and King." So extol means to literally raise or lift up. Now, can we lift up God? Well, what's he saying here? I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever. So I'm going to lift high who you are. I'm going to give people a proper opinion of God in the way that I live, but I want to bless. This word bless means to speak well of. We need to teach our children, we need to teach the next generation to speak well of God. And I'm not just talking about taking his name in vain. We have that all the time. We need to teach, and that's one of the other commandments, right? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But why do people take the name of the Lord their God in vain? Because they don't know him. They don't know him. If we really know who God is and we have a relationship with him, That would be one of the farthest things we'd ever want to do, because he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. We need to teach our generation, our children, the upcoming generation, the current generation, what it means to speak well of God. What does it truly mean to bless? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember Job? When all that stuff happened to him, God allowed it. He could, and his wife even said, curse God and die. And he says, you speak as someone who's foolish. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's he saying there? I'm going to speak well of the Lord. Even this great difficulty, this great sorrow, I'm going to speak well of him because he never changes. And he is always good. And he never makes a mistake. And he has a good plan and a good purpose. Though I may not see it all right now, I know that he is good. And he is God. David here is saying, I will extol you, my God and King. I'm not ultimately the king. God is the king, David says. And I will bless your name. And notice, bless your name forever and ever. David wants this to be a lifelong mission for him. Now, do we always do it perfectly? No. Did David always do it perfectly? No. God's word is very honest about David's shortcomings too. But David was called a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because when God confronted him with his sin, when God pointed out his sin to him, David would repent. He wasn't perfect. He harbored sin for him. Remember the whole thing with Bathsheba and Uriah and the murder and the adultery. But when Nathan the prophet was sent by God to say, you're the man, you're the one who's at fault, David confesses and he agrees and he repents. He accepts the consequences for his sin. And then we have that beautiful Psalm 51. Wash me and I will be as white as snow. I renew a right spirit within me, David says. One of the best things we could teach our children, our grandchildren, encourage them and model for them. That's the greatest way we teach, really, right? Is modeling for them how we can bless the name of the Lord forever and ever. We won't always do it perfectly, but may that be our lifelong mission as we go forward. So there are truths in here, and these are just a couple. Are there some other truths? We've got a couple minutes still, and I think Sarah's still getting some things ready in there, but are there some truths that you see in verse 1 as well that we could apply here, or just some observations from what we've talked about or what we've seen in Scripture? I know we only got into verse 1. Exalted. Like extolled. And where do we see that? Where do we learn? Where do we see who God is? In his word. And so, you know, read the word. Read the word aloud to your grandchildren, your children. Read the word. Be in the word. And so we can have an answer for the hope that lies within us. We can point people to Scripture. That's good. Yes, Susie. Eternal life. That's good. The best is yet to come. We get to praise him forever. Yep. And we want to see the children, the next generation, we want to see people come to Christ so they can worship him forever and ever. That's good. That's good. Anything else? These are good observations. I know it's just one verse, so next Sunday night, hopefully we'll get into verses 2 and 3 a little more. But I don't want to leave anyone out if there was something. One observation I would say, one application I'd encourage us, and I'll probably mention this each time we're in Psalm 145 for the next couple weeks, but don't leave the teaching about God and his glory to the next generation to someone else. It's very easy to do that. And not all of us may see ourselves as teachers. Not all of us may, you know, see ourselves as having the perfect word every time, but honestly, as Christians, we do not have the luxury to sit back on our hands and let other people share the gospel and point people to Christ. We don't know who we're having an impact with. It could be your neighbors. You're out mowing your lawn, those guys, or we're doing whatever, and we smash our finger on something, and they're watching. Our children, our grandchildren, ladies, as you have, you go through the same situation sometimes that someone else does, and they see you trust the Lord. It's not to make people think good about us, but it's to point them to Christ. Our children are watching, our grandkids, if you have grandkids, are watching. We don't have the luxury to sit back and let others point children and upcoming generations to Christ. And I would just say this, and we'll close with this. If the church is not teaching the next generation about the true God and his glory, someone else will. Someone else already is. And it's going to be those who are not the right people, or the right philosophy, or the right worldview to be instructing our children, the next generation, about their Creator God. Their teaching will begin and end with man's word rather than beginning and ending with God's word. And so this isn't meant to be a guilt trip. I hope it's just an encouragement to us. And as we go through Psalm 145, and we may cover more swaths of 145 at different times, maybe we'll go verse by verse for a little bit. Let's get excited about the opportunity we have before us. We have children here at Open Door, and it's not just the children. It's grandparents, you help encourage the parents. Newlyweds, you get to learn from those who have been married for a long time. And you get to encourage, we all get to encourage one another, those one another passages. And what we're doing is we're encouraging us to glorify God, to praise him, to live for his praise, to sing praise to him with our lives. And that's one of the best things we can pass on to the next generation. Because if we praise God for the right reasons, then we're living for his glory. And we will follow his word. We'll be learning what it means to live a life, to extol our God and King and bless his name forever and ever. So let's close by singing, and this fits very well, with number 464, Lord, be glorified. Let's pray that God, this would be a prayer really of our hearts as we sing. But let's stand together. We'll sing number 464, Lord, be glorified.